program, God's Point of View. We're always in search of God's Point of View, and we want you to be as well. The program made possible by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville, Kentucky. And this program is on the air, as I mentioned, because of the efforts of the church. And the views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of WSIP or Fort Broadcasting, but they are ours. And we're proud of them, and we want to proclaim them in love. As Paul told the Ephesians, speaking the truth in love. You can be a part of the program if you'd like to be. On Facebook, we've got Janie Oxer watching, and Rob Diesel from across the pond there. Good to have you with us, Rob. Phyllis Tackett watching. People will be checking in, and I'll try to mention names as I go. If I miss you, please don't be mad at me. I'm doing my best, and I love you. I love all of our Facebook fans and Facebook friends, I guess the correct terminology is, and those who call. And speaking of calling, if you'd like to call and be a part of the program, this is, of course, a live program, and we're still trying to work out, and if you call, our Facebook friends can't hear your question or your comment, but Joe's been trying to work on that, and Scott, you, of course, I know you know how that works. If you call us this morning, and we hope you do, 789-0318, 789-0318, then I'll give you plenty of time to ask your question. Scott will push the right button over there, not that one, but another one. And the folks on Facebook will be able to hear your question, then he'll push another button, and I'll answer. And, you know, if everybody's talking at the same time, you don't get much out of it. So we hope you do call, 789-0318. You don't have to talk about what we're talking about. You could have another theme, something else you want to talk about, that's fine. If you have a different viewpoint on something we're talking about, that's fine, too. The only person I know of that was perfect was Jesus Christ. None of us are. We're all striving to get better and do better, and we'll share opinions, and that'll make us all better people. You can also email us at godspointofview@yahoo.com, at godspointofview@yahoo.com. I've got the email up here, and there's nothing as of yet. You can also reach me later in the day if you'd like, 367-0137 in the area, 606-367-0137 out of the area. Esther's joining us this morning, and Phyllis Daniel watching. Good to have all you folks, fine folks, watching today and listening today. Well, I posted this on Facebook recently, and I thought I'd share it with our listeners today. A new school prayer, and we could probably update this from the time I first wrote it, but here's the quandary that our children find themselves in, our school system finds itself in. I would say Paintsville and Johnson County is a credit to most school systems, especially those in large cities, Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York City. We have some of the best public school teachers I know anything about, and they have ways of getting the message across without violating the rules, or at least they don't get caught doing it. And, you know, sometimes you have to take a stand, and they do a good job at that, but not in every school. Here's the new school prayer. Now I set me down in school where praying is against the rule. For this great nation under God finds mention of him very odd. If scripture now the class recites, it violates the Bill of Rights. And any time my head I bow becomes a federal matter now. Our hair can be purple, orange, or green. That's no offense. It's a freedom scene. The law is specific. The law is precise. Prayers spoken aloud are a serious vice. For praying in a public hall might offend someone with no faith at all. In silence alone, we must meditate. God's name is prohibited by the United States. We're allowed to cuss and dress like freaks and pierce our noses, tongues, and cheeks. Guns are allowed, but not the Bible. To quote the good book makes me liable. We can elect a pregnant senior queen and the unwed daddy as our senior king. It's inappropriate to teach right from wrong. We're taught that such judgments do not belong. We can get our condoms and birth control, study witchcraft, vampires and totem poles. But the Ten Commandments are not allowed. No word of God must reach this crowd. It's scary here, I must confess, when chaos reigns, the school's a mess. So, Lord, this silent plea I make, should I be shot, my soul, please take. Amen. I'll tell you, that's pretty much the way it is. That pretty well describes what our country is experiencing with respect to the public school system and all things Christian. You know, one of the greatest challenges that you and I have today, if not the greatest challenge, as Christians, as people of God, is to be able to have a sense of where society is going. And society is going the wrong way. It's as though our cultural cathedral is on fire. Doesn't make any difference how much water we seem to spray on it. It only seems to get worse. Margaret Mead was a great anthropologist many years ago, and she said a lot of things that I would not agree with, but she also said a lot of things that I happen to agree with, and this is one of the things that I think she was right on target. Margaret Mead said, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has." Scott, I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to talk about Savannah for just a moment. He told me about his daughter Savannah a little while ago down in Nashville, I believe you told me, at a Truth and Peace. Is that the name of it? Truth and Peace Leadership, and she's there with other folks of like faith, and they're talking about missionary efforts. Do I have that right, Scott? And we prayed for her. This is what I'm talking about today. A 17-year-old young lady who has a direction in life, and that direction is for Christ. And she's planning on doing something with that a lot of us would never even think about doing. But you can do something. You may not be a missionary. You may not travel across the seas. But you can do something for Christ right where you are. I want you to think with me for a moment. From Adam and Eve, that's in the garden, of course, to John, who was on Patmos. It's hard to think of any significant event in Scripture that didn't involve a significant person. Just think about that for a moment. Your Savannah might just be that significant person that will save somebody's soul years from now. You can do that, my friend. I can do that. This program is on the air because we want to do that. We want to help people in our local community, in our surrounding communities. And now that we're on Facebook, it's worldwide. We want people to know about Jesus Christ. You say, well, there's a whole lot of other people doing that. Why are you all doing it? Because they can't do my serving. God expects me to use my gifts, my abilities, my talents, my time, my treasure, my testimony to serve Him. Because I'm going to answer as a child of God for how I served Him in this world. And I want Him to say to me, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many." The same thing is true today as it was in the Apostle Paul's day, in the Apostles' day, in the last 2,000 plus years. Every one of us have been entrusted with spiritual gifts, and we have an obligation to influence the culture, not in Scott's way, not in my way, not in your neighbor's way, but in your way. It's your duty, your responsibility, your Father's calling on your life as an individual. And you need to listen for His call. In the book of Joshua, I think it's interesting. God led the Israelites, most of you listening know this story, led the Israelites to defeat Jericho. You know how He did it finally on that seventh day. They marched around the city, and the priests blew their trumpets, and the walls fell. But that's not the way He took the little city of Ai. That's right, Ai. Ai. Jericho fell in one way, Ai fell in another way. Ai fell because God said, "I want you, a group of you Israelites, to attack from the front and then retreat, and that'll draw some of the people out. And then the Israelites attacked from the rear, so they had them surrounded. That's Joshua chapter 8. We don't hear as much about that one as we do Jericho. What's the point? The point is this. The way of God is to lead one man or woman one way and another man or woman the other way. The way he's led in the past may not be the way he's led in the future, which is why Christians, pastors, have to be creative and look for ways that God may be leading them at this particular time. A wise pastor many years ago made this statement. The key is to stay faithful to the last word we heard and open to the next. I like that. Stay faithful to the last word we heard and open to the next. The psalmist David writes, seek my face. God says to the psalmist David, seek my face, Psalms 27, verse 8. David responded, my heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. In Acts 13, verse 22, God said this of David. This will tell you if David was successful. I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all of my will. My, oh my. I'd love to have that said about me. You know, the Bible says that when David served his generation, he went to be with his fathers. He gathered his feet in the bed, and he went to be with his fathers. After he had served this generation. Every one of us as Christians have a responsibility to serve this generation. That's why I keep mentioning Savannah. I can't help it, Scott. I don't know that I can mention her name too much for you, though. She's looking for a way to serve. Now, that she just didn't wake up one morning and start thinking that way. She's got a mama and a daddy who helped her. And she's got a pastor. She's got a church family. And they help motivate her. You all be praying for her. Folks, listen. When you seek an intimate, personal relationship with God, you can know His will. You can learn His will. You can do His will. And God will use your faithfulness just like He did David's. And you will leave a legacy for people to be proud of. With every passing day, I have a growing urgency about me. Oh, preacher, I thought you were retired. Pastor, I thought you retired about a year ago. I did. August 26th. Of next month will be a year ago I retired. But I haven't retired from serving God. I've retired from full-time pastoring for nearly over 44 years of it. Time to give somebody else a shot. But I haven't stopped preaching and teaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. I'll never do that until God takes me home. I have this growing urgency to engage the culture because the culture is continually abandoning spiritual values. All kinds of legislation that's pending. These elections, certainly the national election that's coming up. All kinds of hateful rhetoric. This is a crucial time, folks. And it's time for you to think about what role you're going to play. You know, last week we talked about the 4th of July. We took the 4th of July off. And last week we talked a little bit about the 4th, and I've been doing even more thinking about that and what our country has done, how God led us, and it's amazing. It is truly amazing. Well, I want to share just a little bit of that with you. Remember, 789-0318, that's the way you can reach us. Give us a call. Talk to us about some of the things we've already talked about or some of the things about our country or whatever else is on your mind. We'd just love to hear from you. You know you're out there listening. Continuing to see people logging in. Lois Jean Pelfrey, Marcia Spencer Murray, Sheila Jean Tackett, Music, Lisa Meek Sires, all watching. God bless you all. We're so glad you're tuning in. And you and our listening audience, you feel free to give us a call, 789-0318. Email us at godspointofview@yahoo.com. Give me a call on my cell phone, 367-0137. In 1962, I was a whippersnapper. I was 13 going on 14 years old. And I was unaware of what was going on because I grew up in a typical small town school where people were faithful and people said the pledge to the flag. People believed in God. People were able to express that. But 1962 a simple prayer, was at the very center of something that became a great turmoil. Let me read it for you. 1962, here was the prayer. Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon Thee, and we beg Thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. That was it. That was the prayer that started a downward spiral. What is significant about the prayer, other than that, is that it acknowledges God only one time. It doesn't even mention Jesus. But on June 25th, 1962, the case went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court found it to be unconstitutional. All of this despite the fact that our own Declaration of Independence acknowledges God four times. But based on that decision, and that decision was known as Engle versus Vital, that decision removed prayer from school. Hosea 8 has a word on that. Verse 7, they sow the wind, they reap the whirlwind. And the question is, what have we reaped? I want to spend the next couple of weeks talking about the reaping since 1962. The reaping that this country of ours has endured and is enduring right now because of that one decision. Prayer was removed. This is going to be a repeat to a lot of you because a lot of you know this, but I continue to be amazed at the number of people who do not. Prayer was removed on the basis of separation of church and state. To illustrate how ridiculous this decision was, we need to understand just a little bit of history. You see, the founding fathers didn't believe in a separation between the government and Christianity. No. Let me show you that. 1853. A movement was started in which a group petitioned Congress for the separation of Christian principles from government. A separation of church and state. And for nearly a year, the Senate and the House committees, judiciary committees, reviewed and studied the petition to see if it would be possible to separate Christian principles from our civil government. Both returned almost identical reports. Listen to this. This is from the House Judiciary Committee, March 27th, 1854. Listen to what they said. Quote, had the founding fathers during the Revolution a suspicion of any attempt to war against Christianity, that revolution would have been strangled in its cradle. Did you get that, folks? For fear that you didn't, let me say it again. They said, had the founding fathers during this revolution, that is, our revolution for independence, had they any suspicion of any attempt to war against Christianity, that revolution would have been strangled in the cradle. At the time of the adoption of the Constitution and its amendments, the universal sentiment was that, listen now folks, the universal sentiment was that Christianity should be encouraged, but not any one sect or denomination. End of quote. It also said, quote, in this age, there is no substitute for Christianity. Are you listening? There is no substitute for Christianity. That was the religion of the founders of the Republic, and they expected it to remain the religion of their descendants. End of quote. 2 months later, the House Judiciary Committee added this declaration. Quote, the great, vital, and conservative element of our system, the thing that holds the system together. Did you get that, folks? The thing that holds it all together is the belief of our people in the pure doctrine and the divine truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. End of quote. You say, you're making that up, preacher. Check it out. Research it. Don't be so lazy that you won't research what I'm telling you. Both these committees, the House Judiciary Committee that studied this, both these committees said we should not separate these principles of Christianity from the government because it was these principles which made the government so successful. But someone says, what about the First Amendment someone wants to know about? Good question. The emphasis of the First Amendment says this. quote, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. End of quote. Good time to stop. I got a call. Let's take the call, Scott. Hello there, God's Point of View. You're on the air. Hello, are you there?
Hello? Hello. Yes.
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay.
Glad to have you with us today. What's your question or comment?
Well, my comment is that I don't know if anyone else saw this on Yahoo the other day, but I already knew it. I guess I've been aware. I'm 72, and I've been aware of this several years. But they had a man on the street, and they asked questions to people about the Declaration of Independence. And just for an example, they asked one lady when the Declaration of Independence was signed, and she cooked her head, and she said, you know, I think that was signed in 1964. And the answers got worse from there. They asked who we fought for independence. And someone answered the South. That's what we get from not teaching things in school and not having
You're absolutely correct. I saw a similar program the other day. It may have been the same one, and I was appalled, as you are.
Me too. I thought, well, you know, I'm just a little Alabama girl, and I grew up in the church, and I learned these things, a lot of these things in school, though. Although my mom and dad were devout Christians, the school helped bring me up to speed. And that's my comment. And I sincerely pray that somehow, I pray about it, and I hope we can change this. We can turn it around because people are believing lies.
Yes, yes, you're absolutely correct. Thank you so much for your call today. We so much appreciate it.
Well, thank you for doing this.
God bless you. Yes. Have a good day.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. I saw a similar program, and I just couldn't believe some of the things I was hearing. My first thought was from a statement found in the book of Hosea. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Faith cometh by hearing, Paul said, and hearing by the word of God. This is so important. Our churches play such an important role, and for so long we have been bottlenecked, we have been choked off, we have been fearful of doing anything other than the preaching the Beatitudes, talking about the Sermon on the Mount, and we should. Those things are a rock bed of our faith. But I think it was Martin Luther who said it. Martin Luther, I believe, said, someone correct me if I'm wrong, Martin Luther, I believe, said, if you preach the gospel and yet do not address the social ills of the day, you have not fully preached the gospel. And I think he's absolutely correct. I think churches are wiser today than they used to be in terms of how much involvement their churches can have in the public square. We need to be in the public square. Another reason why we're on the air is to take a stand and let people know. Highland has had three motivating factors now for, 35 years. And it is this: to evangelize the lost. That's our first responsibility, to seek and to save the lost. That's why Jesus came. Number two, to edify the saved. We've got to keep our people right with God to the best of our ability. We've got to keep them nourished and feed them on the blessed word of eternal truth. But thirdly, be the conscience of the community. And folks, I know because I, for probably the first 10 years when I was pastoring, preaching, holding revival meetings here and there, doing all these wonderful things for Christ, I never touched any secular thing. I never talked about politics. I never talked about our responsibility in the community. And I wised up, thank God. But it is because for so many years we have been out of the public square that those who want to make changes and a lot of them are not aren't good changes. They thought, well, the church doesn't care, and so we're going to just do what we want to. But now the church, I think, has been awakened. What was it? What was the quote back in just prior to World War II, after the bombing, Pearl Harbor? They said, we fear we have wakened a sleeping giant. And I think that may be true. This culture is getting so bad that I think even that many of the churches who haven't been involved are seeing the need. But this community, again, we've fought things over the years. The wet, dry issue, you said, well, you lost it, but we didn't quit. We didn't give up, and we still haven't given up. Whether it's wet, dry, whether it's drugs, whether it's the local health department giving needles to people, and in essence saying it's okay to shoot up. We don't believe that's right. I've gone to the fiscal court and testified to that. Would go again if need be. What I'm saying is, folks, and yes, and someone said to me the other night at VBS, you stop teaching, start preaching. I can't help that. That was my wife who said that, as a matter of fact. And I have a high regard for her. But we've got to be outspoken. We've got one more call. Let's take it, Scott. Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. You're on the air.
Hey, I just want to tell you I like your program. And I need to ask you a question, when they're going to give the supplies out down there.
Well, are you talking about the food basket?
No, the papers and stuff for school.
Well, oh, I see what you're saying now. Yeah, that usually is the end of July, first part of August. So you'll be listening for it. That'll probably be, we'll advertise that when it comes about. And thank you for your interest in the program and your interest in that program.
Back
to school. God bless you for that.
Bless you.
And so, time's come and gone. Let me throw shout out to the Vacation Bible School. That's the correct phrase, isn't it, Scott? A shout out. Highland's having a Vacation Bible School. I'm an old time preacher, folks. I don't know all these modern phrases, but I'm trying. Vacation Bible School. We have had a great week. Again tonight and then tomorrow night. I'll be there with the adult class. Open forum questions and answers. Been doing this now since, all of Highland's days and even before. But people just bring their questions or just come with a question and ask it. We've talked about any number of things, this week. And we've got two more nights. So we invite you to come 6:30 to 8:30. And we invite you to tune us in every Thursday for God's Point of View. Until next week, we hope and pray you continue to search for God's Point of View.